coach has got to take their responsibility. He could hesitate this week of doing that. Put him out of their misery.
All right, Buccaneers fans, he's back. He is the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, Ira Kaufman, the king of Newport Richey, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. You want a new nickname, Ira? What do you want?
You got 2 weeks to work on a new nickname. I want it by Christmas.
The right. Pharaoh of Ford.
The Pharaoh of Ford. What am I, Ben Hur? You putting me in the...
I thought a pharaoh was a term of nobility.
I don't know about that. A serf. You might call me a serf.
All right, Sage. Well,
surf
look.
Surf is negative.
Surf's
it?
Negative.
Bill Curry Ford is where it's at, a mile north of the stadium, a mile north of where we sit here at Hooters on Hillsborough Avenue. Sage just ate his chicken sandwich at a very modest speed. Very impressed, Ira.
And no fries.
No fries.
But I stole six of the Kemper's.
Coleslaw, though.
But you see, you know how you insultedly, you not only did you take 4 or 5 fries, you took the first ones. You don't take the first fries off
even,
a man's
yeah,
plate.
He didn't even get to his plate.
Yeah.
He's a seagull.
But
he's
I didn't take a nugget. I didn't take a nugget.
Bill Curry Ford. Get to BillCurryFord.com. Amazing end of the year. Savings going on right now. Sean Sullivan is beating any advertised price you got by $100. That's back, Ira. I know you love that. That's one of your favorites. $100 just to beat somebody else's price. BillCurryFord.com. New vehicles. Order a vehicle. You can get a 2024. You can get a 2025. Your trade is never worth more than it is right now because you know how it is, Ira. You trade in your vehicle in February. All of a sudden, it lost a year's worth of value. So you got to remember that. Sean is there for you with the Ira Kaufman discount. Reach out to him on the website or in the showroom, BillCurryFord.com. And Ira.
Hold on. I got to credit Mr. Sullivan for his football acumen, besides running a very tidy shop over there at Bill Curry Ford. Steve, last year, Fantasy League, which I'm in, run by Todd Wright, and Sean offers $1,000 to the winner.
And he won it.
And he won it. This year.
Oh, inside job?
This year, he started out about 1-5, dead in the water. He's won like 6 or 7 in a row. He's in the playoffs. He's facing Todd Wright this week. I'm in the playoffs. I'm facing some guy named the Gobstoppers. I don't know what the hell that means. All I know is he's got Jalen Hurts and I got Jared Goff. I don't know if I like that matchup. And then two guys have a bye. But anyway, you know, sometimes when the draft ends, we look at Sean Sullivan, we go, this ain't a good team. You know what? By the end of the year, he gets it done. So well done, Mr. Sullivan. Well done.
He makes the right deals during the season, and he'll do that for you at Bill Curry Ford. Bill Curry Ford. com. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeCamper of Joe Bucks Fan is here. Our last podcast is up there on JoeBucksFan.com for everybody to catch up.
It was a rollicking podcast.
Rollicking instant classic almost. And
with the pecan loaf, and I was standing up most of the time, and there was a lot of juice on that podcast.
It's also at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Podcast Addict. Leave Ira a review if you want on Apple. We got to get to 400. We've been sitting at 398 reviews for a while.
Oh, we got it. We got it.
Got to get to 400. And
I don't care if it's negative. Let's get to 400.
Yeah, Ira doesn't care. And we'll talk about Florida's Elite Restoration later. Ira, Florida's Elite Restoration is what every Bucks fan needs in their back pocket. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. If you have a home or a business, you have to know who to call. If you have water damage, fire damage, mold, storm damage, any kind of disaster, call them first before you call your insurance company. But first, go to Florida'sElitereStoration.com, put them in your plan, see what they do, and they'll take care of everything, Ira. One-stop shop. Disaster all the way to making all the repairs and replacements. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. All right, Sage, look, I got one for you that Lee kind of brought this up in a roundabout way before, and I've got to ask you this just straight up. The Bucks, are they in better position right now for the run that they need to make than they were last year? At this time, for the run they needed to make late in the season, which they did, is the offense better now with a running game and Bucky Irving? Or was it better with Chris Godwin on the field last year? Where do you stand on the direct comparison to where the team is now to make the run, Lee, you as well?
I would say they're better shape in 2024, Lee. The schedule, very favorable. Injuries, guys are coming back. The offense, other than Godwin, intact. Cone doing a hell of a job with this offense. Mayfield healthy for the most part. And a tremendous running game, which we haven't said in a long, long time about this team. Good two-headed monster, but one monster looks a little better than the other.
I'm talking about
Bucky Irving. I think they're in better shape this year. I'll go one step further, Lee. I'd put $20 down right now. By Sunday night, the Bucks are in first place in the division. first place.
Ooh.
What do you say to that, Lee? You're not even sure the Bucks are going to win this game.
No, I'm not. That game against the Panthers,
took a lot out of you, Lee. Took a lot out of you.
I just don't trust him anymore. I'm sorry.
Especially coming off the Giants game. Especially.
Yeah, they look so damn good against Giants. I get the Giants stink, but they look so dang good. And Sunday night, they had to fight by the skin of their teeth and claw their way for
a
miracle.
And get some breaks.
Yeah, they got a hell of a break. You know, Anthony Nelson getting that strip. I lost a lot of faith in this team the way they came out. Maybe I had too much hope. To Steve's question, are they better off to make a run now? Marginally.
Last year they were 4-7 when they turned things around.
Yeah, they're marginally better. You know, I think Godwin's a huge loss. You know, without Evans, they basically have no passing attack. But last year they had no running attack. At least this year they have a better run game. They have a better offensive coordinator.
Better offensive line.
Better offensive line. Rashad White is better than last year, but that's not to say he's good. He's a weapon in the pass game. I've maintained that for years, and I still maintain that.
Otten's better.
He's gotten better receiver. So I think they're a little bit better positioned, but, man, I just don't trust them. I can't trust the defense. I can't trust the offense. Do I hope they make the playoffs? Damn right I hope. I just don't trust them. Not after Sunday night. I don't trust them.
Steve, do you understand Lee's disillusionment with this Carolina game and how it's eroded his confidence?
Well, of course. I'm not an idiot, Ira. I mean, look at the game.
You said the Panthers suck.
They absolutely suck.
I'm not backing off on that.
And, you know, fans have – you make a bold call, I guess, if some fan thinks it. Whatever direction it is, when you screw up, they want to smack you around, and that's totally fine. But I still stand by that. I didn't expect Baker Mayfield to have a bad game. He did. Bad game by Mayfield overall. Made some big plays, of course.
I agree.
But bad game. I didn't expect the punter to be one of the worst displays we've ever seen in punting that cost the Bucks.
Stupid penalties.
I didn't expect Graham Barton to go off the rails. I didn't expect pre-snap penalties. Sterling Shepard has 5 penalties this season from a wide receiver. That's ridiculous.
They're not even offensive pass interference.
Part-time guy, yeah. So there were some issues in the game there, but I totally get Lee's disillusionment. Makes sense. A lot of fans feel the same way. A lot of them don't. But it depends where you fall. Are you in the win is a win crowd, or are you what are you looking for? I still like the schedule. I mean, the Raiders have lost 8 in a row.
The new Bowles poll is out, Stevie.
Ah, well, you want to have the answer.
The new Bowles poll is out.
So I'll pull that up in a little bit, Ira. Sage, you were in the locker room on Wednesday. Your feelings there, your thoughts, you know where the team is. You've been in a lot of locker rooms in December. What do we need to know?
My first feeling is get some more damn players in front of their lockers where they're supposed to be for those 45 minutes. That's mandated by the league. Lee, you're not supposed to be having lunch at that time. Make yourself available.
Or working out or getting a massage. I won't say who, but I had a player tell me he didn't have time to talk because he had to get a massage.
Don't get me started.
That's what Robert Kraft told Ira in 96.
You know who I saw? I saw Robert Haynes. He had his locker.
Oh,
you know, Kayvon Merriweather might have been wandering around.
The Asian strip mowing Jupiter.
Jalen McMillan in and out of the locker room. I want the key
Jose
people.
Jose Ramirez.
Never mind that. I want the key people. So my feeling is one of depression sometimes when I go into that Buck locker room on Wednesdays. You know, they end up bringing the same guys out. Not today. But it's almost always Wirfs. Almost always Winfield.
And I can understand that. You want your stars out there.
Yeah. But I want more bodies in front of the locker. And Lee and I are like, you know, we're hanging around like a couple of...
Vultures?
A couple of vultures. Like, we're the offensive linemen. We want to get in there. I want to ask who's blocking Max Crosby.
I pounced on both Bredesen and Graham Barton after you left.
Did Gedeke come in?
I did not see him.
Okay.
But, like, you know this. You're more versed than I am. Offensive linemen love to talk.
They do.
And they usually give you information you can't get anywhere else.
Yeah,
so
they don't talk
in
cliches either.
No.
Remember how I used to be all over Ali Marpet? I used to drive him crazy. He used to see me coming from across the lot.
That's why you're retired.
Well, here's what I learned today, Ira. This is what I learned. I mean, I had a suspicion that there was a family connection with Michigan and Bredesen. I didn't know until a couple days ago his brother pitched for Michigan. He's got a younger brother that's still on a team. But I learned, no, there's no legacy there. His dad went to Illinois State, so there's no legacy.
Oh,
with
look
Michigan.
At you at Illinois State.
I didn't mention it. Bredesen mentioned it.
What's their name? The Salukis?
No, you're thinking Southern Illinois. Uh-oh. The Redbirds.
The Redbirds.
Which they always use the Cardinals logo. But
there you go.
Famous actor. You're an actor guy, Hollywood guy.
I am.
Famous actor from Bloomington, Illinois.
Wait a minute.
70s.
That's my bailiwick.
Yes, your bailiwick. That's
it. It ain't Nicholson. He's from New Jersey. It ain't De Niro.
A guy people can relate to.
Charles Durning?
No, but that's a hell of a guess.
That's a hell of a guess.
McLean Stevenson.
Oh, the guy they killed off on MASH.
Colonel Blake.
Is this worth noting, Steve? Is this worth noting at all? You notice I asked Bowles after 12 weeks, 12 games, what strikes you about what are you proud of and what are you frustrated with? And he's proud of the fight.
Oh.
So Lee, here's my point. Steve, with the exception of the Denver game, which was awful from start to finish, nothing in between, awful. That's one game out of 12. They fight, Steve. They fight. They compete. The losses are close. The wins are close. They compete. Is there anything to be said for that? Do the Glazers look at that like that? That's a positive for Bowles?
No, there's no congratulations. You compete. I'm sorry. Not from the way I view the...
Meanwhile, the Falcons get blown out several times. The Bucks don't.
That's great. You're supposed to compete. It's like...
It's a given, you're, right?
Great. Everybody tries real hard. Come on. You know,
participation trophy.
I understand what Bowles is talking about because he's been on teams and he's been, as some players have as well, that haven't had that level of fight. And so I understand what he's praising, but is it really something to have great pride in? I don't think it should be. It should be a given.
Do you have any questions about the way Buck players feel about Bowles? I mean...
Well, yes and no. Yes, I have questions. No, I don't give a damn because wasn't the Raiders players that begged Mark Davis to hire Antonio Pierce? How's that working out?
8 in a row. Lost.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that guy should be canned. So I don't care if the players like the guy or not. What I care about is wins. That's what I care about. So I'll throw a question back at you, Ira, since this is your podcast. People tune in to hear you. They surely don't turn in to hear me yap. What does your girl, Judy Batista, know? She wrote a story that published either Monday night or Tuesday morning. 8 coaches that need to be looking over their shoulders these last 5 weeks.
Yeah.
One of those coaches is Todd Bowles. Now, there's a lot of innuendo out there about the Bucks job, specifically about Belichick. We know your girl, Judy Batista, well entrenched and embedded with the NFL front offices. What does she know?
Well, she's very familiar with Bowles from the Jets days.
Okay.
She's based in New York.
Well, she was a Jets beat writer once, wasn't she?
She worked for the New York Times and then NFL Network. She knows Bowles well. She saw how it ended in New York. This is not New York. They, you know, the Bucks are not going 5-12. You know, he had a good first year and then it fell apart. But she knows this, Steve. I think he's 500 right now as a Buccaneer coach. I think he's dead on at 500. He was one game under. Last year he was one game over. And here they are at 6-6. That's a 500 record. That doesn't buy a lot of security. And should they stumble, and we said this 2 weeks ago, and I think we're right. If they had stumbled against the Giants, Carolina, or the Raiders certainly qualify, he might not be able to overcome that.
They sure as hell stumbled against Carolina, and Anthony Nelson caught him.
You could argue that.
Fell down.
You could argue that.
Now, two things that Judy Batista pointed out in her element.
Now, she doesn't have him at the top of the list.
No, but he's in, I think it was alphabetical order. I don't know. But at any rate, one was in a crappy division, he's yet to have 10 wins.
Yes.
Actually, three things. That's one. Another was he had Tom Brady one of those years, and he had a losing record.
Yes.
Number three.
You can't afford to stumble, Steve. The Glazers are watching, and they're very proactive, the Glazers. If they think he's on shaky ground right now, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, look,
if he finishes strong, they'll keep him.
That's why we asked you last podcast. I asked you if you think he can survive 9-8, you know, which was, you know, obviously losing two games. So we talked about that. If he's on thin ice, he's on thin ice. We're not going to know what the Glazers really think unless, you know, we start seeing what looks like smoke signals coming from
him. He hasn't built up enough equity, Steve, in the first 2 years.
Oh, here's the third one.
Even though they won a playoff game, they won the division, it's not enough equity. Sure. Steve, he's a 500 coach right now with the Bucks.
Here's the third one that's not a good look for Bowles, she points out. He's supposed to be a defensive coach, and his defense is lousy.
Yeah, yeah. That might be the most important one at all.
So, Ira, before I get to the confidence poll, so this kind of listening to Todd Bowles on his radio show, listening to offensive line coach Kevin Carberry and post-game quotes from Bowles, you talked about Bowles' feeling about the team. We talked about that a little bit and the perception of it all. But he talked about mental toughness, how he liked, you know, he said after the game, I'm paraphrasing, that the Bucs would have lost this kind of game first half of the season. First half of the season, we didn't close out situations like this. Well, I disagree. They didn't lose to a crap bottom-of-the-barrel team in the first half of the year. None. They didn't lose to any. Now, I don't consider the Falcons to be on the level of the Panthers that have traded quality players, have already had a quarterback situation, and are talent-challenged and terrible.
And Denver's been a pleasant surprise.
And Denver's turned out to be a good team. So I can't praise the team for mental toughness there in the way that Todd Bowles is. And Carberry was out there talking about, you know, how mentally tough they were and that they got the job done, especially in key situations. Well, 3rd and 1 on the 2-yard line, they could have closed the game out. They lost 4 yards. How is that mentally tough? It's like these guys are being praised for their grit and their fire and their mental toughness. It even came up in the post-game locker room situation. But are they really mentally tough? Do they look mentally tough to you?
Well, Lee, don't forget, they let Bryce Young drive the field for the go-ahead touchdown. The Bucs were losing with 30 seconds left in the game.
Not John Elway.
Not John
Elway.
Bryce
Young.
Now, was that the one where they started on their own 40? I think it was, right?
Yes.
Which, that didn't help. That didn't help. But still.
Thanks to the idiot punter.
Who was not mentally tough. Go ahead.
Still, they had a 4-point lead, not a 3-point lead. They needed a touchdown, Carolina. And methodically, with the soft zone defense, boom, boom, boom. 12 here, 8 here. Buck fans are so tired of that, Lee. They're so tired of looking at that. And the 2 Atlanta games were a perfect example, especially the first one. With no defender there. Lee, you brought up that man-to-man success rate as opposed to zone. I haven't heard a good answer why they're not playing more men. I just haven't heard it.
I guess I wasn't direct enough. I basically asked Bowles why the disparity. They did so well against in man against Young, but zone, they got lit up.
Does he not trust the corners, Steve? Is that what it is?
Well, he said to Lee, you can't play man all the time, which is correct,
yeah,
but you can play it more.
Yes.
You know, Rex Ryan and other guys might disagree with you. There are teams that play more man than the Bucs, so that was a nonsense answer. Along with Todd Bowles' nonsense answer, he was asked, hey, Bucky Irving catching a kickoff with 2 seconds left in the first half, coming out and getting hurt. Of course, it was a dance-around question. Nobody said, hey, was that a, you regret that? But Bowles wouldn't just say, yeah, you know, we don't want Bucky pulling that out. That's the time to take a knee and get in the locker room. He just isn't going to answer straight, Ira, the way he would.
I guess he was hoping for a 95-yard kickoff return, Lee. But how many of those have we seen this year?
Irving's only returned 6 kicks all year. Bowles is like, yeah, he's one of our best guys. Well, stop it. You know, he's not DeSean Jackson or Cordarrelle Patterson back there. But, Sage, you asked about the poll.
Well, you're pulling it up. I'll say this real quick. If people don't know the stat that we're all referring to, Sunday against the Panthers, when Bowles used a zone defense against Bryce Young, Young was 23 of 32 for a season-high 242 yards. Against man coverage, Young was pathetic. He was 3 of 14 for 56 yards.
Well,
that's a pretty big disparity.
Lee, look at the disparity of how often they played man and how often they played zone.
Yeah.
That's a big disparity.
Exactly.
That was my point. Yeah, exactly. He could have played man a lot more. All right, so Sage, before we get to the poll, I just want to say that it's on JoeBucksFan.com. I watched the mic'd up segment of Adam Thielen, very long one, on the Panthers website, and they had all kinds of camera angles on the big catch in the back of the end zone that didn't count. And it's clear that he bobbled the ball. So it was a good call. But what was most interesting, which really frustrated me as a fan, is that you hear in the mic'd up segment, you hear the referee telling Thielen, you took your right hand off the ball. So, and then put it back and, you know, basically explained it. But we didn't hear that on the broadcast. So, I mean, the NFL's got to find a way.
So it ended up being a good call.
Yeah, ended up being a good call. Now, I don't like the whole nature of control the ball through the catch. That's a different argument for another day, but it was a good call. Although the Panthers look, if anybody wants to go see it, those NFL films look really show that Antoine Winfield, he was there, he didn't make the play. You know, that was his guy. And
you know, Steve, Thielen's one-handed catch, not his touchdown catch, but the one-handed catch, that was about as good as Mike Evans' touchdown catch. It was a fantastic catch.
Fantastic. Fantastic catch. All right. So the Todd Bowles confidence poll runs every week, Ira, with the simple question, grade your confidence in Todd Bowles. Total, 67.4% of fans voted little confidence or no confidence.
That's the takeaway.
So that's just a little bit more than two-thirds. Yeah, now, a week ago, after the Giants game, that number was at 58% versus
the previous
year.
So it went from 58 to 67.
Yeah. After a win.
After a win.
So there's more than a couple people think like me. They were appalled. and what they witnessed.
Could the Raiders have enough to pull this game out? I mean, yes. Are you worried about these guys?
Yes.
Couldn't you say they gave their best shot against the Chiefs, so they'll be deflated?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, I would have thought with everything at stake the Bucs have, that they would have kicked the Panthers in the groin, and they didn't. They bent over, and in the infamous Animal House scene, thank you, sir, may I have another? I mean, it was ridiculous. So
Lee's on a roll here.
They better be scared of the damn Raiders. And what right now is one of the Achilles heels of the Bucs defense? And they have several. But what is one of their main Achilles heels?
Containing tight ends.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, Brock Bowers.
And here comes maybe the best one. Maybe the best one. So maybe.
Todd Bowles had a gem today when he said, it's not containing tight ends. We just don't defend the middle of the field well.
Exactly.
Come on, Todd. What is that?
He's right.
And he's right. But that was a cute one there. Look, the Raiders, Ira, they struggle to score. It's just like the Giants, right? The Raiders average. What do you think they average per game, Sage?
16.
Lee?
14.
They're at 18.6. The Giants were at 15.5. So lost 8 in a row.
They don't run the ball at all, the Raiders, I don't think.
Raiders,
they don't run
no,
the ball.
No. Can you name their running back, Ira?
Is it Abdullah?
Yeah, Amir Abdullah, the guy from Nebraska.
Might be.
Their number one running back in yardage is Alexander Mattison, 97 carries for 320 yards. Abdullah's got 35 carries this year, so he doesn't really play much.
You know why I remember that guy?
What are they averaging a carry as a team?
As a team, they rank 32nd in the NFL in yards per carry.
Oh.
And I believe it's at 3.1.
3.1? Yeah, that's Buck-like
they
the last 2 years.
They're the worst running team in the NFL.
You know why I remember Amir Abdullah so well? One, he played for Nebraska. He was pretty good. The other, at least once upon a time, he had a 10 for a girlfriend.
Whoa.
She was beautiful.
Name? Vanessa?
I don't know her name.
Between the thank you, sir, and that, and here we are at Hooters.
Steve, shouldn't you focus all your freaking resources on Brock Bowers this week? Who else is going to beat you? Who are you worried about?
But he can do so many different things. That's the challenge. Because they line him up different ways, inside, outside.
Now I always forget this guy's name. They drafted him, I think, last year, tight end for Notre Dame. Meyer?
Mike Myers or something.
Yeah, he was pretty good. So it's not like that's the only tight end they have.
Is that guy catching any balls? Myers?
Myers?
He's been hurt.
Well, I like the Halloween reference
there
with Michael
reference.
Myers.
He's been hurt a lot.
Has he been hurt?
Right.
He's got 8 catches.
Yeah. How many games?
6.
All right, so he has
kind of like Adam Thielen tearing us up. He had 11 catches going into
that
game.
11 catches.
Terrible.
Here's the thing, another reason why the Bucs better not be overlooking the Raiders. Yeah, they got a lousy record, but look at the division they play in. A little bit better than the NFC South. Just a little bit.
That's very good, Lee. Denver's no slouch.
Nope.
Chargers play really good defense.
Mm-hmm. Tough.
And then you got Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad, Lee. Not bad. The fans will go crazy if this is a lackluster effort.
This town will melt down.
This is a lackluster effort by the home team. These fans will go crazy.
Yeah, I mean, there's
as they should.
There's no excuse. I mean, the Raiders aren't good. Doesn't mean they can't compete. They've been a little.
They're going cross country. Put them out of their misery.
10 o'clock game for them. 10 a.m.
Isn't that what? But of course, that's what we said about the Charlotte game too. Steve.
Exactly. I mean, but at least this is a home game. But you're more right with the home game, Ira. You know, and as Bruce Arians likes to say, you know, losing locker rooms, they tend to mail it in after Thanksgiving. Well, now we're after Thanksgiving. We're at the lead. Said the 10 a.m. Game. You know, it's a can't lose. Yeah, 10 a.m. West Coast time game for them. It's a can't lose situation, but you know.
Atlanta's going to Minnesota. You see Atlanta coming out on top this week, Atlanta?
No, not at all. Well, I mean, the Vikings are damn good. They don't have too much in Atlanta.
That's a hell of a coach they got, the Vikings. That guy's
O'Connell?
Good.
Yeah, that guy's good.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Early this season, which probably doesn't mean much.
Lost his quarterback. Lost him.
And took a schlub and made him to a Pro Bowl quarterback.
The Raiders were rolled by the Carolina earlier this season.
Rolled.
Don't know if that means much, but they lost 36-22. They've only had 2 games all year where they've scored more than 22 points.
Wow.
So.
What's with these Buck penalties, Steve? Is that on the players or the coaches? Coaches got to take their responsibility.
Lee, you answer
this.
That.
You got to drill these guys, Lee.
What,
pre-snap penalties and stuff.
That's just that drives me nuts. Rank stupidity. That's not having your head in the game. It's really that simple. What's the snap? That's about the most basic thing there. What's the snap?
Does it go to practice habits, Lee?
It's worse than that. That's something high school kids get benched for. I mean, that's what's the snap? Snap on two or whatever.
Look, Mayfield said he used the word sluggish for the first half. I don't even know what to say.
I don't even know if it's sluggish.
That's what he said. I mean, the season's on the line. The pre-snap penalties.
I thought they were unfocused, Lee. Unfocused.
Well, that's telltale sign that they don't know what the snap is. That's unfocused.
Unfocused.
That's a stupidity.
How are you sluggish on December 1st with the season on the line?
Well,
I don't know.
I'll amplify your question. How the hell can you be sluggish when you've got your playoff life to save?
Yeah, same thing. Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous. Sluggish. What, you go out and get hammered the night before? I can understand that.
Do you think they come out differently this week, Ira? Or you think they just gave everything they had and this is what
it
looks like?
I'm a little bit like Lee right now. I mean, coming off the Giants game, I thought they'd take over from the start.
Yeah.
And put Charlotte Carolina out of their misery. And they didn't do it. Like, the touchdown they scored took a fantastic catch by Evans. Highlight reel catch. Then they did absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely nothing. Three and out. What are you doing? Three and out against that defense? That defense is worse than the Raider defense.
Didn't the streak hold true? The Bucs scored first, right?
But not in the first possession. They didn't score on their first possession.
No. Oh, I was thinking the first possession.
Yeah.
But the streak
is. But they scored first.
They're 6-1 when they score first.
They scored first, yeah. So what do you think, Lee? They think they come out sluggish, or they? You don't even know what to think anymore?
You don't know what to think, Lee.
More often than not, they come out sluggish after their first possession. So I think they're going to play down to the Raiders.
I don't see. This hurts me to say this because Irving's on my fantasy team. I don't see him getting 25 carries because. I think they got that hip pointer in the back of their minds, and they don't want to overuse them. I don't see them getting 25 carries.
But the irony is that the overuse didn't cause the hip pointer.
Yes.
It was the stupid.
Yes.
Well, I guess you could call that overuse, having them return a kick like that. I don't know. You can't trust them anymore, Ira, to come out with the right mentality. So I don't know.
Of course, I certainly expect Mayfield to play better.
Yeah, I think he'll be fine. I think the offense will be fine.
You know what could be a sneaky factor, Steve, against the Bucs? Sneaky. Mayfield's healthy enough to play, but he's not 100%, which I don't think he will be. And you know what that could do? Maybe he won't run for two or three first downs. Critical downs.
That hurt them against Charlotte.
And I think that could hurt this offense because he makes some key plays.
Well, Steve's brought that out. There was at least one first down Mayfield could have ran for. He didn't, and it was an incomplete pass, and they had to punt.
He could hesitate this week of doing that.
Well, he sort of hesitated before he got hurt last week, so I don't even know what to make of it. But Wirfs, Bowles said, he didn't say, oh, he came out of the game great. He feels great, great shape.
One leg.
He said, oh, well, you know, he's better on one leg than other guys on two. That wasn't exactly encouraging for what Wirfs is going to do.
But he played pretty well, Steve.
But he played well.
Yes.
So, and Bowles said on his radio show that he graded well. But how healthy is he? I don't know. Crosby does move to both sides a lot. So there is no matchup. It's Wirfs or Gedeky, it's not a one-guy thing.
Now, Crosby, he doesn't have 14 sacks. He's got about 8. I think he's looking to for a breakthrough game. I hope this isn't it, but it could be. What a motor that guy's got, Lee. What a motor. He doesn't stop.
He brought Wirfs in his bum leg.
Yeah.
There's a highlight floating around Twitter of Wirfs from all 22. Made a tremendous block, but it was against a guy about half his size.
I think I know the one you're talking about. Downfield?
Yeah, he didn't get up. He stayed on the ground. He didn't get up. I mean, he got up eventually, of course, but he didn't pop up. He stayed there, and that sure looked like he was hurt. But the guy bounced up right away, and Wirfs took a moment to pause and collect himself before he got up.
I'd like to see Otten have a big game because he's been quiet a couple of weeks.
He's dropped balls, too. He dropped a couple of balls in this game. And I don't think anybody would really say it, but I think when Mayfield threw the pick that was in the direction of Otten when he was fanning out, you know, scrambling right, I'm not sure I really like the effort that Otten gave on that ball.
You know what that reminded me of? Evans against Denver, where Evans looked disinterested on the pick, was also to the right sideline. He was double covered, but Evans didn't make much of an effort to knock that ball
down.
I'm
just saying that's how it looked. I mean, you never know where a guy's balance is and moving and stuff, but
it didn't look like he fought for the ball.
It didn't look like he laid out for a ball.
You think the fact Bowers is on the other sideline coming into Tampa for the first time could motivate Otten a little bit to show what he can do?
I hope so. I mean, they got to throw it to him, though. I didn't feel like there were a lot of design plays for Otten. I don't know. Cohen has done great things. They just have to keep getting better.
You know, Lee, every time I want to turn the page on Rashad White as a running back, toting the ball, He's had a couple of big runs this year, Lee.
Yeah, I've turned the page on long ago. It doesn't mean he's not capable.
But he's had some big runs.
Yeah, he's come up with a big run here or there, but I'm not about to anoint him as the next Tony Dorsett as a result.
Yeah. I don't think there's any question Irving's the more gifted runner.
So, Ira, just a fun fact, and it really speaks to what a non-science the whole draft is. Back in 2019, fourth round, after the Bucks, like 6, 7, 8 picks before, took Mike Edwards, defensive back. The Raiders then took Max Crosby in the fourth round.
What year?
2019. Edwards, late third round, 6 picks or so. Then the Raiders take Max Crosby. The next pick off the board is Anthony Nelson. So
we're
the Bucks
gonna delve into that.
So the truth we're not going to get unless you get it from John Gruden.
Which I might.
But, you know, that just speaks to, what did the whole league not see in Max Crosby that he falls to the fourth round? And what did the Bucks not see to say, hey, look, man, Max Crosby in one hand, Anthony Nelson in the other, let's trade up 5 spots. It's fascinating.
But Steve, like you said, 30 other teams are looking at Max Crosby saying, I don't know about this guy. You know, so you can't pin that one on Jason Light. That's not fair.
Lee, your thought on that? Any thought?
It's the crapshoot of the draft.
Just the draft.
I mean, allegedly, I don't know how true this is, allegedly the Bucks were all set to draft Creed Humphrey, and the Chiefs were picking right above them.
Second round, I think. Yeah.
Boom, they got Humphrey. He's like all world, and the Bucks were
Robert Haynes. Mark Dominic's told the story of, well, I should have drafted Rob Gronkowski in whatever year that was. You know, thanks, Mark.
By the way, remember I was talking up this center, not Barton, before the draft?
Yeah, the guy on Pittsburgh.
Yeah. I think he's had a hell of a year.
He's had a hell of a year, yeah.
Frazier?
He's been better.
Oh, the West Virginia center?
Yeah.
He's a mauler.
This backs up my belief that in the first round, you only draft guys who can affect the quarterback or who score touchdowns.
Now, I don't have a problem with Barton, Steve, but this Pittsburgh kid's really good. He's really good.
Yeah, it'd be very interesting to see if he makes the Pro Bowl, which he very much might. Bucks fans might go wild with that.
Barton's going to be a good one.
He's had a heck of a year.
He will be. How bad was he in Carolina? How bad was
he? He didn't play that well, but he's not a bad center. I mean, it's a good, safe pick, but we'll see what it really plays out to be, right?
He played like he had, to quote Chris Thomas, his head up his poop chute.
All right, Ira, look, we got a game to pick. You pick the order here while I tell everybody to remember to go to floridaselite.com. And when you do call them, when you have a disaster, mention Ira. Say, hey, I heard about you guys on Joe Bucks Fan. If you need their service, if you sign up with them to do your restoration work, you'll get $500 back. Now, the evaluation is free, so there's no commitment there. But you got to call. If you see some damage in your home, you can't wait. Otherwise, these insurance companies, they're allowed to not cover you. If you wait 3 weeks, call up. It's too late. So call right away. They're going to respond 24/7.
Steve, we know what happens with some of these other businesses, like an auto mechanic. Steve, you go in. And the guy says it's $2,200 worth of work, when in reality it's $110 with a part. It happens all the time. That's why finding a mechanic so difficult, guy you can trust. Well, the same thing, I think, goes for, molding and these kind of repairs. Trust is the key. And like you said, the consultation is free. And Josh and his guys, if it's a minor job, they're going to say it's a minor job. They're not going to hose you. And we know a lot of people that have used them, so we're not talking out of the side of our butt.
FloridasElitereStoration.com. Now, I just want to be clear, Ira. Bill Curry Ford is not one of those service departments that you're talking about. They are huge.
No, I'm talking about a private auto mechanic place.
They got great management over there. You go to Bill Curry Ford, you're going to get top flight service. You'll get a loaner vehicle. They got 100 of them, so you don't have to worry about, oh, my car, this and that. How am I going to get around? They'll even come to your house and do work at your property, no extra charge.
That's unbelievable.
There's no driveway fee or something like that. They've even got drivers that will handle.
They might clean up the oil after an oil change over there.
There you go. Start car shopping at BillCurryFord.com. Don't forget, BillCurryFord.com.
Here's a piece of advice for people shopping at Bill Curry Ford. Ask Sean Sullivan about edge rushes. You might get an additional break. I don't know. But that'll be a memorable visit. Let's put that way.
But the expletives will fly.
All right, Ari.
I'm going to go first. Steve, I'm going first. Right. This is not going to be a blowout. This will not be a blowout. The Bucks will find a way to win. Lee, I think it's going to be very similar to the Carolina game. I don't know if they're going to need a fumble. But I think it's 27-24 Bucks on a McLaughlin field goal with seconds left. I think the Raiders will be very competitive.
I don't know what to think about this damn team. I can make an argument for a blowout. I can make an argument for an overtime game. I can make an argument for they crap their pants. Next week they play the Chargers, right?
That's right.
21-20 bucks.
All right, you've heard it, Steve.
Nail biter.
They're going to overlook the Raiders.
Aiden O'Connell is the Raiders quarterback, Ira.
Didn't he throw for 300 last week?
He had a big game for him, yeah. It was like his best game.
Yeah, they scored points.
Except for the screw-up at the end. But he's got four TDs in three starts, Ira. He's not lighting up the world. And the Raiders have a better defense, though, which scares me a little bit.
But they can't run the ball, Steve. They can't.
But they can't do anything on offense. So I can't bet on a terrible team losing eight in a row in December. It just would go against everything I believe in. I think the Bucs have a little bit of juice. I think the urgency battle will be won by them. I'm thinking the Raiders probably have a little quit. So I'm going 24-13 Bucs.
You know, we've been jumping on the Buck bandwagon, and we're going to ride it as long as we can. Now, next week might be a different story. We'll see. But we're all picking the Bucs. Two of us think it's going to be very tight.
In a really sick, demented way. Really sick and demented. Because I don't want to see this happen. But in a really sick and demented way, perverse way, it'd be interesting to see the reaction of Bucs fans if they do blow chunks Sunday.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people point to the Raiders against the Chiefs, but I got to pull a Sean Sullivan analogy. It was one of my favorite things he said on his Best in Class podcast. The Chiefs, they play with their food. Everybody stays close. They toy with everybody, like a cat, you know, with a mouse, and then they eat it later. So playing the Chiefs close, I don't think that means anything this year. Ira, you sat here before the season and told everybody, hey, this is not the same Chiefs team. They're not that good. They may win. I expect them to be in the playoffs, but this is not a great club, and I think they've proven that to you, at least from a game-by-game basis. So props to you, props to Sean Sullivan on that. But also, you know, the Chiefs played a 7-point game against the Raiders like 6 weeks prior to last week, so what did anybody expect? I don't take that too much with, oh, they hung with the Chiefs. Everybody hangs with the Chiefs, even the Bucs.
And, Steve, I'll end this podcast by the way I started it. Sunday night, Buck fans having their dinner. Raising a glass to the first place team in the NFC South, the Buccaneers.
There's your parlay.